my soul and all that is within me. Come on, let's give him a hand praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was in prayer the other day and I told God, you know, I said, I think I like the body of Christ more when we didn't know near as much. Hallelujah. All we knew was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just leave the world behind and get in and love God and serve God and praise God and tell everybody about it. That's all we knew. Hallelujah. Now we got all the programs and we know how to do it. And sometimes God lets us do it because we know how to do it so much. Don't ever forget this, that the Titanic was made by experts and the Ark was made by novices. Hallelujah. Does it ever bother you the devil's more sold out about what he believes and what we believe than we are about what we believe? That bugs me once in a while. The devil is more burnt out and sold out about what he believes than we are about what we believe. Come on, I've never heard of two or three little devils getting together and splitting off and starting another hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to be here with all of you. We greet you from Little Rock, Arkansas, and we've had a great liberty there in the last couple of years, and God's moving by His Spirit. I was talking to Brother Baxter. Brother Baxter is one of the greatest Christians I know anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I've tried to aggravate him, and you can't hardly aggravate him. Hallelujah. I can get Carrie activated real quick, but not for there. Hallelujah. But to know Jesus Christ in the power of the resurrection, to know that we're not looking for the outpouring, we're living in the last day outpouring of the Holy Ghost. My wife and about four other people have been going to the jail in Little Rock, Arkansas about 4 years, and they've had over 3,000 baptized in Jesus' name, those women. Hallelujah. They come in the other night and they was getting ready to baptize and they had all of our candidates. I think my wife and those people had 12 to baptize. This past Monday night they brought 15 ladies into her unit and all 15 of them got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So they brought the ladies, they brought our candidates in for baptism and they had everybody mixed together and the guard said, everybody getting baptized in Jesus' name, line up over here. So I think my wife and those people had about 12 to baptize, and a big old guy was in there. She said, he looked like you, honey, except he had a ponytail. And I said, he must have been a handsome devil. Hallelujah. It's a wonder he's not in Hollywood. But he had a ponytail and a beard and had a Levi jacket with the sleeves cut out and said, biking for Jesus on the back of it. He said, hold it. Everybody just shut it down right here. Of course, everybody froze. And he said, what's this Jesus name baptism stuff? So I've been hearing about this stuff. I want to know something about this Jesus name baptism. Now, if that had been me, we'd have probably gotten a fight and a big debate. But my wife and that lady that walked over that works with her, a black lady, she said, let us teach you a Bible study. So the guy said, all right, whatever. And he sat down and she said, what we're going to do, we're going to line up all the people baptized in the titles on this side of the page in the Bible. And all the people baptized in Jesus' name on this side. She said, now show me one. He said, I can't. She said, zero. She said, Acts 2, 3,120. She said, name me another. He said, I can't. She said, 5,000, 8,000. Hallelujah. He stood up, took his hand, and hit the top of the table. He said, okay, everybody, I'm supposed to baptize. He said, I apologize. I've been baptizing wrong up here. He said, I'm going to baptize you in Jesus' name. And he baptized all his crowd in Jesus' name. So we're living in a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I said, we're living in a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I think God's going to do it again in Richmond, Indiana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you. Appreciate the goodness of God. And had a halfway decent flight. Had the three biggest guys in the plane sitting in one seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to keep it in your mind when you're going through the security now that the reason they're doing that is to make your flight safe. If you don't keep that in your mind, you'll be a terrorist time you get through. had some big old gal outweighed me about 75 pounds come up to me that night, popping latex gloves. She said, I'm going to have to search you. And I said, whoa, mama, hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But thanks to Osama bin Laden and all those precious brethren, hallelujah. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Thanks for the nice room and the Twinkies and the Diet Cokes. Hallelujah. If you don't like having fun, you're not going to like this revival. If you don't like the Word and worship and having fun, you're not going to like this revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. 2 Chronicles 3, 8. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 3, 8. Got all of us fat guys on the platform, don't they? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 3, 8. When you got it, say we got it, Brother Charlie. And he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits. Might we all read the same spot or what? Huh? 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. Where have I messed up at? Okay, hallelujah. I felt a funny spirit here just a minute. Hallelujah. And he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits. Everybody say 20 cubits. And the breadth thereof, 20 cubits. And he overlaid it with fine gold, amounting to 600 talents. And the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. And in the most holy house, everybody say the holy house, he made two cherubims of image work and overlaid them with gold. And the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long, and one wing of one cherub was 5 cubits reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was likewise 5 cubits reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, try to calm down now, hallelujah, reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was 5 cubits also, joining to the wing of the other cherub. The wings of these cherubim spread themselves forth 20 cubits. Everybody say, they filled all the house. And they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. Want to preach a little while tonight on the fullness of God. The fullness of God. You may be seated. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Come on, God doesn't just partially fill you with the Holy Ghost. He gives you a life-changing experience. Come on, if he didn't change the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live, you didn't really get full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, he changed the way I walked. I didn't used to walk when I was in the world that boogied, man. Hallelujah. God changed that. Come on, 3 nights before I got the Holy Ghost, I was drunk and held my wife hostage. I'm talking about God changes your life. The dog knew I'd got the Holy Ghost. I don't like animals, especially living in my house, leaving their calling card around where I got to walk barefooted. Hallelujah. But that old dog would get around me, I'd kick it. I'd get out of here. The night I got the Holy Ghost, the dog come running up, and I said, come here, honey, Daddy loves you. Boy, that dog didn't know what was going down. He'd come in sideways. Come on, God changes your life. I said, God changes your life. Come on, it's not some religious experience. It's a life-changing experience. You see, he put the things in the Old Testament to show us a picture in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's concealed. In the New Testament, it's revealed. In the Old Testament, it's enfolded. In the New Testament, it's unfolded. In the Old Testament, it's veiled. In the New Testament, it's unveiled. In the Old Testament, it's a shadow. In the New Testament, it's a substance. In the Old Testament, it's a picture. But in the New Testament, it's a person named Jesus Christ that comes to live in you. The holy place, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the holy place. The cherubim's wings touched each side of it. It completely filled. I want to tell you what God feels wherever he gets. Come on, I said God feels wherever he gets. Come on, quote this with me. When the day of Pentecost was, all of a sudden there came the sound from heaven like a, and it
Come on, I'm talking about the fullness of God. I'm talking about the fullness of God. I'm talking about the God that comes down and lives in us. Hallelujah. See, the Bible said that Jesus has the keys of death and hell. The word for hell there in the Hebrew is Sheol, which means the unknown. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what's going to happen to this world. I don't either, but I got the keys. I know the guy with the keys. He's got the key to the unknown in your life. You say, well, I'm going through problems. Join the club. We all go through problems. Come on, it's not the process. It's how you go through the process. Come on. We're all going through something. Come on, it's not the problem, it's how you act in the problem that determines the weight of deliverance you have on the other side of the problem. And if you don't go through the process, when you get through, there's an inferior product in your life because you got to go through the process to have the product. Hallelujah. Come on. The devil's trying to stop everything God can send out there, but my Bible tells me greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. Come on, there's something about him that drew people. You know why? Because he refused to be a monument. He refused to be a statue. Come on, he wasn't a God way up here and his people are God, people way down here. He came down, wrapped himself in flesh and went out to dinner. Come on. Stood around and schmoozed with them and had bagels. Hallelujah, latkes. Come on. Little kids climbed up in his lap and said, we love you, Yeshua. And he said, I love you too. And he laid his hand on him and blessed him. Come on. He refused to be a religious icon and a religious figure. He wanted to be the God that could get into people's life and touch people. Come on. I couldn't relate to a God way up there. If I was raised poor, I can't relate to wealth and splendor. I was raised poor, man. Our neighborhood was so bad, a guy broke in our apartment one night. We mugged him. Come on. We couldn't afford a watchdog, so we'd stay awake at night barking by the door when people would come by. We had two gangs in my neighborhood. We had a gang called the Warlords and a Jewish gang called the Landlords. We'd evict you instead of rumbling with you. Hallelujah. Come on. I couldn't relate to some omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God that flung the stars to the farthest corner of the night. You know who I could relate to? I could relate to a poor Galilean, hallelujah, that didn't have any place to lay his head. Come on, that hung out with street people and people that was down on their luck. Come on, they called him a devil because he hung around with sinners. You know what they said? There's an old Jewish proverb. It said, show me a man's company and I'll show you the man. And they said, this man receiveth sinners. Come on. This man hangs out with people that shouldn't even be in the club. This man hangs out with people that can't be a Sadducee or a Pharisee or an Israelite. Come on. And Jesus came to see people just like that. Come on. I said, Jesus came to see people just like that. The Shekinah Spirit of God formed him in the womb of Mary so he could be released to the human family. Hallelujah. I was in a debate one night with a man, and I quit this because I never did see much happening in these debates. But I was debating a guy one night, and he said, Mr. Mahaney, if you can prove Jesus was the Father, we'll let you baptize us. Well, I proved it right quick. And then he said, I'm going to ask you a question. And when somebody asks you a stupid question, the best way is to answer them with a smart question. He said, how could Jesus be the Father and be the Son and be the Holy Spirit, all three? I said, how could he be a rose and a lily? How could he be a lion and a lamb? How could he be a root and be a branch? How could he be a river and be a spring? How could he be a star and be the sun? How could he be the sheepfold, the door of the sheepfold? Well, he's a sheepfold, he's a scapegoat. And when he's a scapegoat, the sheepfold, the door of the sheepfold, the scapegoat, he's the lamb. Hallelujah. And while he's the lamb and the sheepfold, the scapegoat, the door of the sheepfold, and the lamb, he's the shepherd. Now, if he can be the shepherd and the lamb and the sheepcoat and the door to the sheepfold, why can't he be the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Rose of Sharon, the Root of Jesse, the Lily of the Valley? You know what? God came to get me. God wrapped himself in flesh. I know he was Mary's baby, but I know he was God too. As Mary's baby, he was tempted. As God, he was without sin. As Mary's baby wept at Lazarus' tomb. As God, he said, come forth. As Mary's baby, they carried him in a boat. As God, he walks across the sea. As Mary's baby, he was 33 years old. As God, he's the Ancient of Days. And he came to fill me. He didn't say, now, if you can get good enough, if you can get your hair cut short enough, come on. I was a sinner when God got a hold of me. I poured out about 5 bottles of booze, flushed about 4 baggies full of Acapulco gold down the commode, threw some zigzag papers in the trash. Come on. I was doing what I could do. But I couldn't get good enough to get God. So he said, okay, you've done what you can do. Now just stand back. I want to fill you with my spirit. And God poured his spirit out in my life. Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody knew something happened to me. Come on. Everybody knew something happened to me. And you know what he done? When he came down and died on the cross, Hebrews the 9th chapter said there's no way into the holy place. But in the Hebrews the 10th chapter, he said now there's a new and living way after Calvary. Come on, I could come in. Hallelujah. I said, I could come in. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't mean much to a bunch of goyim, a bunch of Gentiles down here in Richmond, Indiana, on a cold November evening. But in the Bible, when the priest would come, there was about 290,000 in the priestly tribe of Levi or Levi. And they had a big kalal, and they had 299,000 black stones and 1 white stone. And whichever priest reached in and got a white stone got to come into the presence of God. You say, so? That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean much to us. But when he spoke to him in the book of Revelation, said, I've given you a new name and a white stone, it meant you don't have to wait for a lottery. You don't have to wait for a red heifer cattle. You don't have to wait for the sons of Levi to isolate the Y chromosome. All you got to do is come into his presence and God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God in here. The Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. Katalabahashatarabasata. The Holy Ghost. See, God takes us wherever we're at. God doesn't expect anybody to be in one little mold. I never have been able to fit myself in everybody's mold. Come on. Hallelujah. And ladies, make me a promise, you won't fall into the macho trap that we men have fallen into. I can be with 50 women. Now watch, every time I say this, my friends all get a funny look on their face. But I preach ladies' conferences. See, he's trying to keep it off right now. Hallelujah. Look at it. If any of you guys think I'm a sissy, you just climb my tree out there in the hall. Hallelujah. I can mean you jumping on old fat men real quick. But I can be in a crowd of 50 women and I can say, let's touch God. And an hour later, those women will be crying, worshiping God, touching God. There's something sensitive about a woman. The rabbis say a woman is on a higher spiritual plane than a man. Hallelujah. I can be in a crowd of 50 men and say, let's all touch God. We'll be worrying about our golf score. I've even known preachers carry golf clubs in the trunk of their car. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where the evangelist can't get his suitcases in hardly. Hallelujah. And we're worried about what brand of tie we got on, Tommy, what's his finger, whatever it is. Whether you bushwhack Bambi. But those women, my wife and I was in the airport, was coming back from conference, and our plane was leaving in 6 minutes, and I couldn't find my wife. So I got on the intercom, Dallas, Texas, and I said, hello, this is Reverend Charles Mahaney. Please page Juanita Mahaney and tell her to get her hide to the gate 6. Now. She said, how do you want me to say it, Reverend Mahaney? I said, just like I said it. She said, Mrs. Mahaney said, your sweet husband's waiting at gate 6 and he's missing you. I picked up the phone. I said, chicken, hallelujah. And I promise you, about as far as my hymn from Brother Eddie Sachs, my wife came out of the door and she'd been in the ladies' room and met another lady in the ladies' room. And it was a grandmother, and her daughter had terminal cancer, and she was trying to raise her grandkids, and they was in there weeping. Had the pictures of the grandbabies laid out in the women's restroom, weeping and crying and holding hands, praying over their grandkids. I promise you, I've never spoken to another man in a men's restroom. I don't even look around, man. I walk in there, somebody says, how are you doing? Come on. But the women are tender. And that's why he likens us to a bride. Come on, I'm a bride, man. Hallelujah. I'm a bride. I talked to my nephew the other day, and he said, Uncle Charlie, said, I saw you in a movie. I'm in a movie right now. I'm in a movie called Detroit Rock City. They showed it last week on HBO. And it's the rock group and I, the rock group Kiss, and I got into it a few years ago. And they said, are you against the music played backwards? I said, I'm against it backwards, sideways, upside down, however you play it. When they tell our girls to give their virtue away and our boys it's okay to be gay, not to listen to your ministers, but listen to us. We're your gods. And this is your temple. And the medium of our preaching to you is through our words and through our music. And I went out and faced those devils. Come on, they put me on national television. Somebody said, well, what do UPC think of that? I said, how are they going to know? I don't believe our elders watch that garbage. Come on. And I was just, and I'm in the movie right now, Detroit Rock City. I called a Jewish friend of mine that's an attorney, and I said, I want you to get me some money. He said, I can get you some money. And he called back, and he said, I went through all the laws, and he said, a preacher's in public domain, like a politician or a personality, an actor, and he said, they can say anything they want to about a preacher as long as they don't libel him. Hallelujah. But you know what? We need to stand against some things. I was telling God what all that He saved me from and how much I appreciate that. And He said, well, think about what I saved you to. It's not what you left out here. It's what I brought you to. It's not the Acapulco Gold and the Doobies and the Thunderbird and the Boone's Farm and the Strawberry Hill and the Mad Dog 2020 and the Ripple. And I used to drink Aqua Velva shaving lotion, man. Hallelujah. Come on. That's not what God saved me from. It's what God saved me to. He saved me from sin, but He saved me to an infilling of the Holy Ghost. He saved me where I am the habitation of God. He looked over the heads of all the intellectuals and the good people and said, I want that boy down there in cell block J, cell number 14. I want to live in him. I want to feel him. I want to touch him. I want to know him. Come on. And he didn't just put a little bit in me. He filled me from one place to the other. Come on. He filled my mind. The fullness of God, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son born of a woman. Fullness. Fullness. If you can't look around and see something's happening in our world today, I don't have anything to tell you. See, there's two words for the presence of God. There's a Hebrew word called harach. Everybody say harach. No. Harach. Say it loud so they hear you, Eddie. Harach. And that's the omnipresence of God. There's nowhere where you can't go from that omnipresence of God. It's everywhere. David said, if I take wings and fly to the morning, if I go to the highest mountain, that's God's presence is everywhere. He fills everything. Come on, he's everywhere. We say, pray that God will come by. God ain't coming by, man. He's already here. He's everywhere. He fills everywhere. He fills everything. But then there's another word for the presence of God. It's called the Shekinah. Or Shekinah, you'd call it in Indiana. And that's the functioning presence of God. Come on. The functioning presence. And the functioning presence of God, the Shekinah, could come out of the Harach, the omnipresence, and never leave a hole or a vacancy or a void in the omnipresence, the Harach of God. Isn't God awesome?
I told God the other day I was praying. I said, God, I don't want you to think I'm sacrilegious, but you're so cool. He said, I know it, Charlie. Hallelujah. And the Shekinah, the functioning presence of God, is predicated on how much we want Him in our presence. How much we want Him in the service. Come on. Little praise, little presence. Come on. We can lift our little pink palms and sing, I shall not be moved, and mean it. And they couldn't move us with a stick of dynamite. And the hurrah is always there, but God's functioning presence goes somewhere else. Come on, we can sit here and stare at each other and try to act dignified. And the functioning presence of God will lead. And the hurrah will always be there, but the functioning presence of God will lead. And we won't have enough power to get a used demon to chase us. Come on. I want God's functioning presence. Say, what are you talking about? I want the kind of presence that people get the Holy Ghost before they can get to the platform. I want the kind of presence that people get the Holy Ghost before they can get to the car and get in here and get in the song service. I want the functioning presence of God that will open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears and set a drug addict free and send a drunkard back home. That'll make a hallelujah singer out of a hooker. Come on, that'll make a Bible teacher out of a drug addict. That's the kind of presence I want. Talk about the fullness of God. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. We forget sometimes when we read this Bible, that's not a guy from Indiana talking to a guy from Kentucky. There are two Jews talking. Two Jews are talking. Lord, we went out already. And the demons, it's two Jews talking. Come on. And God said, okay, Abram, I'm calling you Ur of Chaldea. See, Abram's father ran an idol shop in Ur. Now, this is not Bible, it's legend. So, well, you don't believe it? Well, whatever. Come on. I just got to throw it on you. You got to shake it off or wear it. Hallelujah. We're just going to take what God gives us and throw it against the wall and see if something will stick. Hallelujah. But Abram, and his father owned an idol shop in Ur of Chaldea. So one day he walks in, said, Abram, already, watch the shop. Watch the shop while I go out. And when he come back, Abram had broken all the idols and put the club in the hand of the biggest idol in the idol shop. And his father comes back. Oy vey, you must shoot it out. Well, look here already. Hallelujah. I mean, good God, you nut. Hallelujah, crazy. You hear that, Eddie, when you grow? Oy vey, Meshuggah. I thought my middle name was Meshuggah. I thought my name was Meshuggah Mahaney. Hallelujah. Look, he broke up the idols. He said, I didn't break it up. Said the idol there holding the club broke him up. He said, idols can't think or do anything. And Abram said, there you go, Pop. And he called him out of Ur of Chaldea, Abram. He tells us that we got nations in us when we're not even with child. Come on. Come on. Now enter with me into a covenant, and I'm going to multiply thee exceedingly. And your wife, Sarai, is going to have a child. She laughs over behind the tent flap. Ain't nobody knew Abe like she did, man. Hallelujah. I was preaching down at Brother Mangan's one night, and I was preaching on family, the family covenant, and I had all the men bring their wife up to the front, and I had them to pray for their wife, put their arms around them. And I said, I want everybody, we're just getting wild. Brother Mangan said, do whatever you want to do, Mahaney. Hallelujah. So I said, I want all you men to kiss your wife. Heard about a guy that didn't kiss his wife for 10 years and then shot some other guy for doing it. What are you looking at her before, Judy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an old brother down there about 85 years old, and he reached over and kissed his wife, and he had a real funny look on his face. And I said, what's wrong, Pop? And he said, there was something familiar about that. See, God calls the impossible possible. Faith always starts out before you know how it's going to come out. Come on. I said faith always starts out before you know. If you know how it's going to come out, it's not faith. Sometimes faith is walking blind with mud in your eyes. Come on. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to enter a covenant with you. And when you enter into a covenant relationship, you take your name and blend it with their name. Now watch this. God is so neat. He said, Abram, I'm going to take the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Hey. Aleph, Beit, Gamal, Daleth, Hey. And that means grace, the fifth letter. Hey. It's called the aspirate. You got to breathe out to say it. Everybody say, Hey. No, Hey. Brother McFarland would fall down here and have a seizure, and I would get on the cell phone, I'd call the doctor, and the doctor said, the only way he will live is if you give him mouth to mouth, man. I'd say, bye, buddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'd rather go on too, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called the aspirate in the Hebrew. You know what God done? God reached over and breathed the fifth letter, which is grace. Five is always grace in the Hebrew. One is deity, two is agreement, three is resurrection, four is order, five is grace. The fifth time Ruth's name is mentioned, she finds Boaz. The fifth time Boaz's name is mentioned, he finds Ruth. Hallelujah. The Levitical altar has five offerings. It is five cubits by five cubits by five cubits. Five names in Isaiah 9:6. Five ingredients to the incense oil. Five ingredients to the anointing oil. And God took grace and called him. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham and breathed into him. Then he told his wife, said, come here, Sarai. You're not going to be Sarai anymore. You're going to be Sarah. And breathed into her. Come on. A little while later, little Bambino was playing around the tent. Hallelujah. You know what's going to bring the last day revival? It's not going to be our programs. Good God, our programs aren't holy. Our three songs in a tent, that's not holy. What's holy is what God breathes among us. And God breathed. It's the same word, ruach, ruach. It's the same word where God breathed the breath of life in Adam and he became a living soul. They say that when the tabernacle of Moses was set up and Israel would go to battle and the Spirit of God would come down on the tabernacle of Moses, that the curtains would begin to go in and out and you could hear a man breathing throughout the camp of Israel. And nothing could whip those Jews. Hallelujah. It's the same breath that breathed the highway down the middle of the Red Sea. It's the same breath that breathed in Ezekiel's boneyard. It's the same breath that breathed in this old hippie boy, 1966, and rose me up and gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I'm talking about the fullness of God. You see, the Spirit gets you to live beyond your understanding. I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things. But the Spirit gets me to live beyond my understanding. Come on. It puts my life under new management. We spend too much time trying to get people to understand our doctrine and join our church when we need to get them to this man. Come on. What good's a doctrine if it doesn't change people's life? I'd rather have Pentecost and not know the doctrine as have the doctrine and not have Pentecost. Because if you got Pentecost, you're going to get the doctrine pretty soon. Come on. It puts your life under new management. Come on. Spirit gets you to live beyond your understanding. I don't understand a lot of things in this life. There's just a whole plethora of things I don't understand. A cornucopia, if you would, of things I don't understand. Hallelujah. I don't want to inundate you with insipid platitudinous homespun colloquialisms, but a plethora, if you would, of things that elude me. Come on. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter. I don't understand why they call it stationary and they send it off. Why they call it a permanent and you got to do it every 6 weeks. Why they call them a pair of pants and there's only one of them. Why they call them apartments, they're all stuck together. Come on, isn't this some deep stuff? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't understand how some old boy that's lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, that's done all he can to just live his life in sin, that's embarrassed his family and been out in sin and just cussed the kids and kicked the cat and blowed his money on gambling and booze and no good, can come to an altar and all of a sudden that feeling of God come down into his life and he walks different, looks different, he's completely different. Come on, I don't understand how that works. But God didn't, I don't understand how you flip a light switch and electricity comes on. I don't know all about the laws of electricity, but that's not going to stop me from enjoying electricity. Come on. I don't know, I'm not going to use electricity, I don't understand it. Well, then you'd have to watch your VCR by candlelight. I know this. I know this. I've seen God fill the meanest men that society could produce and see them walking around next month when I come back to those prisons with a white shirt on, carrying their Bible, their haircut, shaking hands, hugging necks. Come on, I'm talking about the filling of God. It puts your life under brand new management. Come on. It gets you to live beyond your understanding. Listen, you're going to be in situations between now and the trumpet sound that you're not going to have to know how to deal with. But the Spirit does. Come on, the Holy Spirit knows how to deal with it. Come on, the Bible said they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Tongues is for what you don't understand. Come on, you don't know how the Spirit, you don't know how to deal with it, but the Spirit takes you and begins to pray through you. I was talking to a Spanish brother Sunday, and we was having a conference in North Carolina, and I was preaching one night at Wayne Huntley's, and a lot of Spanish people there. And he said, Brother Mahaney was listening to the tape, and at the end of the service, you were speaking in tongues, but you were speaking in real good Spanish. I said, do you know Spanish? And I said, I know taco and burrito, and that's about it. But he said, you were speaking in Spanish, and you was talking to those Spanish people about Jesus as God, and you don't need a man to forgive you. Hallelujah. We was at the hotel one day, the Wailing Wall, and my wife, somebody said, your wife wants you. The women pray on this side, the men on this side. And I went over, and there's a lady from, I don't want to say where she's from with us, but if you'd look up airhead in the dictionary, her picture would be there smiling. Her roots are blonde, man. Hallelujah. And she was standing there talking to a Jewish lady, and the Jewish lady was speaking Hebrew. And I walked up and spoke to her in the feminine Hebrew, and I said, Mashlameh, what is it? And she said, she doesn't know Evrit, she don't understand Hebrew. And I said, no. And she said, she's speaking in the most beautiful Hebrew I've ever heard in my life. Come on. Closest she ever got to a Jew was walking by a doctor's office. Or pawn shop. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. See, the Holy Ghost gets you to live beyond your understanding. It's God in us, but it operates through human channels. The Spirit takes you to the next level from glory to glory. What we was talking about in your office, Pastor, we was talking about holiness. The reason I live like this is not so God will make me righteous. I live like this because I am righteous. Come on. There's no way I can cut off enough hair, or my wife can sew enough on, or I don't watch HBO, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and my wife's never cut her hair, and she doesn't wear men's clothes. I want a wife, not a bodyguard. Hallelujah. But that's not what makes us holy. If I could act good enough to be holy, I'd be a co-savior in my own salvation. I live like this because God has imputed righteousness unto me. And I'm trying to please Him by my holiness before Him. And I go from glory to glory. Come on. You see, religion is to keep that old boy that lives in the dark basement of your life to hold the door shut on him. But relationship goes in, drags him out, puts your foot on his neck, and kills him. Come on. All the Jews ever knew was Yom Kippur, their sins covered. But we know remission. It's like I never sinned before. Come on. After I got in church, I was praying one time, and I had been in church just a few months, and I was talking to God about something I'd done when I was in the world, and somebody I'd beat out of some money. I can tell you about it now. Statutes of limitations are already over. They couldn't do nothing to me now anyway. Hallelujah. And I said, God, I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. And God said, done what? And I said, that people I beat out of money. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You know why? Because he said, if you ask your Father for the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Come on. If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Come on. Hallelujah. My son was going through, my firstborn son. And boy, the enemy is fighting all across our fellowship for the firstborn in our families. You hear me? My son was going through some things. He preached here when he was small, helped me here in a revival. He was going through some things, and I was talking to one of these preachers that is against everything but fresh air. He said, I wouldn't put up with that if he was my son. I said, I wouldn't either if he was your son. Come on. But he's my son. Come on. He's my son. And I said, I'm believing God to bring him home. When he brings him home, the first one that's going to be there with his arms open next to God's going to be his old daddy saying, I've been waiting for you. Come on. And he came home too. Hallelujah. Come on. He came home too. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm a child of God. Come on, that's not a God way up here and me down here hiding. Come on, I've got His Spirit living in me. The Spirit takes you to a new level, from glory to glory. It brought order out of chaos. You know what He done? The Bible said, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created Hashemayim Ha'eres, the heaven and the earth. And it was tohu and bohu, it was without form and void. There's chaos, and God said, let there be. And God brought order. His Spirit trembled out across the universe and brought order. The same thing, that's the way my life was. Come on, my life was coming apart at the seams. And God said, let there be. And God brought order. Come on. Come on, hallelujah. It's God in us, but it operates through human channels. I was in a service the other night, and in less than 20 minutes, we had 123 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was in another service the other night, and in about 10 minutes, we had 47 men receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. At our general conference we just had in Phoenix, Arizona, the last night we had 368 receive the Holy Ghost. The last one to get the Holy Ghost was the cameraman. Did you know that we had hired to video it and to put the big image up there? All of our preachers aren't big like me and Brother Baxter. We got some normal-sized guys. Hallelujah. Letting you rest, McFarland. Hallelujah. But the last guy to get the Holy Ghost was a cameraman. Come on. There's something about this that makes people want it. It releases an utterance you never learned before. I was in a debate with a guy, and he said, Mr. Mahaney said, when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in other languages. It wasn't a supernatural occurrence. He said, now we've got university. They don't need to have a supernatural utterance. We got universities to teach them Swahili and Spanish and wherever you're going. And I said, they're speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost had no more to do with linguistic ability than Peter's rise and walk had to do with orthopedic skill. Come on. The Holy Ghost lives in us. He said, I deny that men can get the Holy Ghost. And I was in a debate. We had more people than we got here that night. And I said, he said, Mr. Mahaney, I deny that somebody can receive the Holy Ghost today. And I stood up. I said, could I interrupt you? And he said, yes, if I can interrupt you in your rebuttal. I said, you sure can anytime you want to. I said, you don't believe you can get the Holy Ghost? I believe you can. Why don't you let me lay hands on you and pray for you, and you lay hands on me and pray for me. Whichever one gets zapped, we know the other's got it. He said, if you touch me, I'll call the cops. He said, honey, go to the phone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost magnifies God and it edifies you.
It's dunamis. It blows all the carnality out of your life. Hallelujah. Come on, tongues takes you before the king and it shows you what belongs to you. Come on, you get revelations when you're talking in tongues. Come on, I said you get revelation when you talk in tongues. Come on, the God language. We become partakers of the divine nature. The Bible said, who knows the mind of God that he can declare the mind of God? But then he said, we have the mind of God. Come on, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's God praying through you with things that can't be uttered. It brings you under the authority of the Spirit of God. We don't know what to say. You get in the presence of God and you just don't know how to express yourself. Come on. Don't know what to say, how to say thank you, you don't know what to do. So God gives you languages. Hallelujah. Come on. God gives you languages. Come on. I said God gives you languages. But it's limited by our own manifestation. When we manifest, God doesn't. But the less we manifest, the more God manifests. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. This thing, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I've got to ask God to turn it off so I can go to sleep. I was on a plane the other day and I was up in first class. I know the pastors I preach for want me to fly first class. I was up there because of my frequent flyer mileage. And hallelujah. But the stewardess came over and she said, excuse me. And I said, yes, ma'am. I was sitting right behind the pilot's cabin. And she said, poked a liquor bottle at me. She said, would you open this bottle for me? And I said, no. She said, what do you mean no? And I said, what part of no eludes your comprehension and understanding? No. Bumpkus, nada, no. She said, the people want a drink. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, have the guy across the aisle open it. His arm's about the size of his microphone stand, little sweetheart. She said, you won't open it? And I said, no. She said, well, I want to know why. And I said, because I used to drink that slop. And God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, I got a drink down at Joel's place. And I said, I don't drink anymore. She said, was you an alcoholic? And I said, I never was an alcoholic. I was a drunkard. She said, what's the difference? I said, drunkards don't have to go to the meetings. Hallelujah. She said, do you want to open it? And I said, no. She said, well, they're going to be mad. And I said, well, I'm sorry. Not my place to take care of American Airlines. She said, if you don't open it, you're going to have to get on that microphone right there and push that button and tell everybody on the plane why you don't drink anymore. I said, get out of here. Are you serious? She said, yeah. Get up there and take that microphone. You tell everybody why you don't drink anymore. I said, how long have I got? She said, we'll be landing in Sacramento, California in 3 hours and 15 minutes. I said, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah. And when I sat down, I was sitting beside a Jewish psychologist. This lady was a Jewish lady in the clinic. She said, now I know why God put me beside you. She said, when I sat down, I felt goosebumps. She said, when you prayed up here a minute ago, I felt goosebumps. Come on, I'm telling you what, God has put something in us that takes us from glory to glory. And the answer for today's tension is the Holy Ghost and fire. Say, well, spirits are attacking me. Come on, if you're under an attack, the way to get a spiritual attack is to release a stronger spirit. When demon spirits come, release the Holy Spirit against them. The secret to communion is union. I was riding on the plane with one of our ex-UPC preachers the other day. He'd been down preaching. I don't want to say who it was for, but one of these famous television preachers. He said, how much they pay you in the UPC, Mahaney? And I said, I don't make that much money, but you ought to see the retirement plan, buddy. Hallelujah. He said, let me show you something. For one night, they gave him $10,000. Hallelujah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday morning, I don't know. I'd give Sister Mahaney $50 if we made that kind of money until I go Hanukkah shopping. Hallelujah. And he said, why don't you quit preaching that stuff?
And I said, because God called me to preach and not be a pulpit prostitute. See, I was praying today on the plane coming up here, and God spoke to me, and God said the devil is not near as worried about getting people to backslide as he is keeping them contained where they're at. He's not worried about you backsliding if he can keep you right contained where you're at. Come on, he wants boxed in believers. Come on, hemmed in hallelujahs. Pigeonhole people. But God wants us out of this thing. You see that 20 by 20 by 20 by 20 cubicle house in the middle was where God lived. Jerusalem is the dead center of the earth. The center of Jerusalem. And the center of Jerusalem is the temple. The center of the temple was the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And in the center of that temple was a box. And God lived on that box. Come on. And when the veil ripped, God got up off that box and walked down to the upper room and poured his spirit out. Hallelujah. And God wants us out of the box. Come on. The devil is fighting a war for containment. Containment is keeping someone within limits by resisting, controlling, and cheating them. He's afraid if you get out of the comfort zone. He wants to keep you boxed in. But God said, I want to rip this thing open. Well, let's have a breakthrough Friday night. Why don't we have a breakthrough Wednesday night? Come on. Hallelujah. See, containment, living in that box, keeps you from going to the next level. Satan wants to put a ceiling over you, for you got the little hidden in hallelujahs. Come on. But God wants to rip this thing open. The minute it became legal, he ripped that veil so he could get close to his people. He hates petitions and walls. Hallelujah. He hates the walls that are between races and economic groups and even in the church. 3 years ago at our prison conference, Action Prison Conference at St. Louis, Missouri, the district chaplain of the state of Texaco is Brother Barnes. Huge black man. Back in the 70s, he was in the Black Panthers. Had a big old afro, and the Black Panthers he was in, you had to kill a white man to belong to it. I told him, and I said, if I'd have met you in the 60s, Brother Barnes, I'd have probably had to whip you. Hallelujah. And the power of God fell one night, and I went over and got Brother Urshan, and I said, come here, Bishop, I want you to see something. And Brother Barnes, that big black man, had his arms around a little white guy, and they was dancing together down there. I said, see the little white guy? And he said, yeah. And I said, he used to be the grand dragon of the KKK in Alabama. Come on. Dancing with an ex-Black Panther. Hallelujah. Come on, this will make a Pentecostal love a Methodist. This will make a Methodist love a Baptist. Hallelujah. Come on, this will make an Arab love a Jew. Hallelujah. Come on, this will make somebody from Taiwan love somebody from the mainland China. Come on, what we need in these days is to kick out of this box the enemy has tried to put us in. Come on, get on your feet and shout before him. We need to come out of these perimeters. I wished about 20 people step out in the aisle and begin to praise him like God's telling you to. Come on. I wished about 20 people get out in the aisle and begin, come on, to step out. Say, excuse me. I'm coming out of the box tonight. Excuse me. You're not hemming me in. Excuse me. Come out of here, my people. I want about 7 or 8 of our daughters of Zion to step out of the aisle and begin to walk around here praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I want some of you daughters of Zion, some of you women that know how to get a hold of God, step out and begin to walk around here. Come on, come on, begin to walk around here praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, say, excuse me. We're getting out of the box. Excuse me. We're overdue for revival in Richmond. Excuse me. What we tried to do to our world, God's going to do it in Richmond.
Holy Ghost. The fullness of God. Come on, God's ready to release something in here. God's ready to turn loose some created glory. God's ready to release something in here. The fullness of His Spirit filling all in all. Come on. Come on, worship Him. La 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 la. Come on, it needs to get out of this intellectual place it is up here in your mind, where you got it all figured out. You speak in your polite little charismatic experience. Come on, it needs to get in your hands and get in your feet, where you make a fool out of yourself, where you shout your hair down for Jesus. Tonight, I want you to go in the Holy Ghost. It's too late just to have meeting. We need to release anointings. I want you to go in the Holy Ghost. I want you to go to somebody and just get them by the hand, bring them up. We're going to have a seat. I'm going to speak something into your life tonight. Just go to somebody the Holy Spirit sends you to quickly. Come on, go to somebody. Come on, quickly. Go to somebody quickly. Get them. Bring them on up. You're not resisting them. You're resisting the Spirit of God that's reaching for you. Come on, bring them on up. Say, come on. Just go get somebody and bring them up for a prayer. We're not trying to get you to join this church. You couldn't join this church. You'd give Pastor Baxter $1 million. Come on, just bring them up for a touch of God. Come on, bring somebody up. Quickly. Quickly, get somebody and bring them up. Come on, quickly. If you don't feel like going and inviting somebody, step out. Come on around the front. Come on, I want everybody to come around the front. I want everybody in the house to come around the front. Everybody. I don't want to discuss what church you go to or affiliation or doctrine. I'm not interested in you finding out our doctrine. I want you to find our Jesus. Hallelujah. Quickly. Come on, move up close, folks. Move up closer here so people get it. Move up close. Move up close. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Listen to me. When we say let the Holy Ghost fall, I want you to reach over and lay hands on them and speak the word, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The word does not become living. It doesn't become the sword, the two-edged sword, until it comes out of your mouth. You can lay a Bible on somebody sick all day long, it ain't going to heal them until you speak it. You're here and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to say, God, forgive me of my sin. I renounce that life. I'm turning away from it. I don't know anything about you, God, but I'm going to live for you. Say it. Come on. God, I want to live for you. Now, when I say receive you the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift your hands and worship God with everything in you. And I want you people that's praying with people, I want you to reach over and lay your hands on them and speak it into their life. Say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, by the authority of the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Boy, I feel something moving now. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Are you ready? When I say receive the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift your hands and begin to praise Him. Are you ready? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now come on, lift your hand. Come on, you reach around, lay hands on. Come on, lay hands right on their head and say, come on, lift your hands.
How He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost.
Come on, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands and worship before Him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all of the praise. You make me want to shout. Hallelujah.
Come on, you've got to yield. You've got to lift your hands. Come on, you speak it, and He'll take that time. Say something. Just say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Come on, speak the Word of God. The Word of God becomes living and powerful. A two-edged sword when it proceeds out of your mouth.
How He picked me up, turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. Would you be free?